EIQC。
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
You ain't from around here, eh, boy?
Yeah!
Travel World. Liberty Works Radio Network.
Am I a very good girl?
Oh, Chad.
Ooh, push that button.
Welcome back to Travel World. Welcome back to Stephen Pickford. We're back in studio here in Montreal. That was the old opening theme song.
Good morning, Stephen Pickford, coming to you from downtown Montreal.
Yeah, downtown Verdun, actually.
Downtown Verdun, yes.
Studios of Fahrenheit 451.
for another few weeks before we move to the BBC, the Bacchus Broadcasting Center.
Yes, yes, that would be in the West Island.
we came back from Pittsburgh last week, and we thought at first there would be a bit of a delay because of the fog at Pittsburgh, but U.S. Airways right on time. We actually arrived early. We got our luggage before the flight was even supposed to arrive, and that's one of the reasons why.
It was kind of like that meal that we had where we got our food before we even ordered. It was called a psychic restaurant.
At Majorca, which is on the south side of Pittsburgh, in a revitalized downtown neighborhood specializing in Spanish cuisine. And
south side, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You could not get through your prime rib.
I've had a big piece of meat in my time.
Yes.
Now, the biggest steak I've ever eaten up until then was at Striper's Grill down in Salisbury Beach. This, Alex, you had to have seen this prime rib. This is a piece of meat that you call sir. I mean, seriously, this is huge. It was three ribs thick. I'm not kidding. It was, my goodness, it was at least, what, 3.5 inches
it was,
thick?
It was huge. People were watching when this piece of meat came out. And that's a place we can recommend, Majorca.
It was delicious.
Cuisine. Continental cuisine, Spanish specialties, varied mixture of beef, steak, veal dishes. Bring pitchers of sangria to your table.
And the sangria there, apparently, now I don't drink, so I didn't have any. But apparently the people who did have the sangria that they've got there just loved it. They're known for it at that particular restaurant. They did a really good job.
Nice appetizer platters that they brought to the table. You could fill up just on the appetizer platters.
That's what they were saying.
Garlic shrimp and lightly breaded calamari. Excellent meal. Majorca on the south side, one of the revitalized neighborhoods of Pittsburgh. And just reading here as well, U.S. Airways was number one airline quality rating 1999 at the University of Nebraska Aviation Institute for
pretty good
on-time performance, fewest complaints from passengers, a combination of factors that all merge. They give a rating and a quality rating. Number one in the quality ratings at U.S. Airways. And as I say, on time or
and they
early.
Didn't have to withhold your return flight coupon to do it either.
No, sometimes you wish to do that with some people. But
that goes back to about, 15 years ago when we first started doing our fam trips. It was an idea you got from Don Pengelio of City Express.
Who was really the first promotion director for the old CJOH-TV, went on to become public relations director for a startup carrier called City Express. And he said, well, to keep everyone in line, when he invited the media along, he would only give them their one-way ticket, and if they behaved themselves, he'd give them the coupon home.
Yeah.
So I always thought
And of course, it was a trip to Toronto, so nobody wanted to stay.
They were on their best behavior so that they could get their ticket and come home and leave Toronto.
Oh, that was an old radio joke from Montreal. You know, the radio station Montreal
There's a rivalry. It's like Baltimore and Washington, or it's Dallas and Houston.
Like
there's a rivalry between nearby cities.
The old radio joke goes, they had a contest. First prize was a week in Toronto, second prize was 2 weeks in Toronto, and the third prize was 3 weeks in Toronto.
And the ultimate loser had to relocate to Toronto. Pennsylvania at this time of year has their Passport to Savings program, which you can call up and get information at 1-800-VISIT-PA. Check out their website at www.state.pa.us. Different promotional coupons, discounts for wintertime travel. Discounts 10 to 40% on attractions, hotels, restaurants, that sort of thing, to make a winter getaway just that much easier on the pocketbook.
And Pittsburgh, well, you know, for all the jokes that Keith Randall was making about it, Pittsburgh really was a great place to stay. In fact, it's got more to it than you would have ever imagined. And one of the nice things, and that's the kind of sad part about the press kit that we got. They have so much to offer in Pittsburgh. Why do they have to go making things up?
They just went a little bit overboard on some of their claims. What I liked about it as well is they have a compact downtown, which still has stores, which still has restaurants, which has a cultural district, and you can pick up walking maps of the Strip District, which is just past downtown, which is like a city market area. You can take a city legacy tour of Mellon Square or Grant Street, different architecturally significant neighborhoods, which are still preserved to this day, and just stroll them on your own. And
just like this afternoon, I'm going to be taking a Subaru legacy tour of downtown Montreal.
Oh.
No, but that's...
you digress.
I digress,
You
yes.
digress, but we also saw the Victorian Christmas exhibit at the Frick House.
Mm, yes, that was great, and a Father Christmas thing. Apparently the whole Santa Claus thing was sort of a cartoonist dream-up. It was a bit of a...
In the 1880s, 1890s.
Something like that. I wouldn't mind actually exploring that a little bit more, because the Dutch Christmas is coming up, the 5th of December, Sinterklaas, and a lot of the things that are taken for granted from Santa Claus, as we call it, have been ported into the Dutch Christmas.
They celebrate Christmas quite a bit in the downtown area of Pittsburgh, as I noticed, because we were there when they, for their Light Up Night, the Downtown Pittsburgh Sparkles Festival.
Wasn't that nice?
Oh, I mean, it just lit up the night sky, first with the fireworks, and then they have
That was funny.
Funny how we got there just when they were over. But the store windows were all prepared just for the beginning of Christmas, and there's a whole directory here, almost 20 pages of sites, churches, shopping malls that are all ready for Christmas with sing-alongs, choral fest, bringing people back to downtown. And I think that is one of the nice things that they have done.
Well,
there's
again,
a pride in the city.
Tons and tons of things to do when you go to Pittsburgh. I mean, the museum, and also there's a bit of a connection we mentioned. The Gateway Center was built by the same developer who did PVM.
Yeah, Plaza Maria Montreal. William Zeckendorf was an architect there. He also was planning to build onto the Chatham Center, which was just north of downtown, the area around the Civic Arena where the Penguins play. That whole area had been a ghetto, and it was urban redevelopment for the late 50s, early 60s as the interstate came in. They tore down a lot of neighborhoods, as they did in many parts of the United States, but the Zeckendorf bankruptcy in 62, 63 put a halt to that, and they still have not built on that site. So,
well, yeah, that's one part that they didn't paving and putting up a parking lot.
No, it made it a little nicer area, but Pittsburgh is a clean city as well. We watch the city transit system, the Port Authority buses going through Pittsburgh. No graffiti. There were dozens and dozens of buses, easy to get around, marked well. They have a pamphlet out how to get to areas of the city and attractions by public transit. So
I like that whole part about you get on the transit, either the bus or the subway.
In the downtown core.
In the downtown core, and it's free.
Free. You can leave your car on the outskirts, and it certainly reduces the congestion in the downtown core. But parking is not expensive. I mean, $3, $4 you can park in downtown Pittsburgh as well, particularly on the weekend. So you can give the Greater Pittsburgh Convention and Visitors Bureau a call, toll-free, 1-800-359-0758 for their official visitor's guide and information on Pittsburgh weekend getaway packages.
Yep, and you can bring your kids. In fact, it's a great kids town. You go there, with all the different attractions that they've got there. What was really neat, again, I mentioned this last week, but having walked through that town, there was that guy and he had his family with him, and they were collecting out for the children's hospital. I thought that was really neat.
It is a family destination. They'll certainly like the Duquesne Incline as well. That's unique, too.
Oh, that was neat. Yeah, the Duquesne Incline it's an incline railway, like a funicular, and they have a car that goes up, a car that goes down, and it was a fun ride going both ways.
Get a great view of the city both daytime and nighttime. You owe it to yourself to do it twice. Once in the daytime, once the nighttime, $2 round trip on the Duquesne Incline.
Absolutely. Getting around Quebec, Steve.
Yes, getting around Quebec. There's no incline. Well, there is an incline in downtown Quebec City, but you don't want to take that to get to Bagotville or different business centers like Val-d'Or, Rouen, Bonaventure, Île-de-la-Madeleine. Air Montreal is just-in-time travel. Call today, fly tomorrow at rates 50% less than other carriers on the route. They leave from their own terminal building on Ryan Avenue in Dorval, where parking is free and there's no airport improvement fee to pay. Air Montreal, toll-free, 888-631-2111 or on the internet at www.airmontreal.com.
Alex, roll the break.
Travel World will continue.
Another holiday.
I think you're dead.
DIQC Montreal.
The holidays at Chocolatier. Peace and joy and family. Savings just for you and me. From practical to love that's true. At Chocolatier, it's all for you.
Pringles chips, $1.19. Tide detergent, 2.2 kilos, $5.77. Check your Jean Coutu flyer for the special photo insert, packed with great gifts like brand name cameras and bags, priced to go in a snap.
At Jean Coutu, you'll find it all, even a friend.
Don't forget your best friends when you go on vacation. Call Langill Kennels in Dorval today, 631-8704. West Islanders have trusted Langills with their pets since 1970. With an animal hospital right on the premises, pet owners can relax knowing that a veterinarian is not just on call, he's on site. And your pet will delight in Langill's choice of diets and experience care just like at home. Plus, each dog enjoys the freedom of his own indoor and outdoor run. Your pet deserves the very best. Langill's Country Setting Kennels in Dorval, 631-8704.
It's the time for getting together. The time for telling your boss that he sure is your boss. A time for saying, you shouldn't have, but what is it? A time for writing a note to that person in accounting concerning your behavior at the office party last night.
Subscribe to Fido Service before December 31st and receive a Nokia 5190 handset for just $50. There's even an elegant silver faceplate and a terrific year 2000 organizer as Fido's gift to you. See stores for details.
While in Montreal, guests of Travel World stay at the luxurious Hotel Dufour, offering informal elegance and a vibrant sense of space in each guest room and suite. All the comforts of home and office, from beautifully styled custom-crafted furniture to kitchenette convenience. Enjoy panoramic views of the St. Lawrence and Mount Royal, then step outdoors to a multitude of shops and restaurants at your doorstep. Upscale service for the discriminating business or leisure traveler. Hotel Dufour, 1390 4th Street at St. Catherine. Telephone 938-8333.
While you're doing your Christmas shopping, you can get a little something extra to give or to keep from Sears and Estee Lauder. When you buy any Estee Lauder fragrance at Sears, for an additional $58, you can purchase a tray full of color. It's an Estee Lauder Deluxe Makeup Tray, full of the latest colors for lips, eyes, cheeks, and nails. This gift from Sears and Estee Lauder has everything you need for a new holiday look, while quantities last.
Come see the many sides of Sears.
Talk Radio 600 CIQC.
Hello, my name is Kevin Pike from the Salisbury Police Department. You're listening to my favorite travel program, Travel World, right here on AM 600 CIQC.
CIQC.
Kind of rock and roll. Hey, we're fortunate. We got two jingles this
two
break.
Jingles for the price of one. That's a very good special, a Liberty Town.
Well, you got to play two jingles if you want to go twice as far, of course. That's not a list of our upcoming destinations. And
we wish we could go to some of them. A lot of Liberty Towns.
I know I'm going to Baton Rouge sometime soon.
Baton Rouge is not too far from Monroe, Louisiana.
Absolutely, yes.
Not too far. 20 cities
Liberty
right
Works
now.
Towns, yes.
20 cities now on the Liberty Works Radio Network, but growing to 100 in the new year. I talked to Ron Lawton last week, and he said 100 stations to be on the Liberty Works Radio Network. Fastest growing talk radio syndicator
in America. We are very proud to be part of the Liberty Works Network because of this, and it's also they're one of the few networks that actually want to tell it like it is. I mean,
voice of truth in broadcasting.
A real radio network. That's what we got to have.
Check them out on the internet, www.libertyworksradio.com.
So we had a special guest online, Judith Ritter? To Bangkok.
How are you?
Yes,
good
how you doing?
Morning. I've been to Bangkok. What was your visit like?
Oh, Bangkok. You know how noisy it is there. And the thing about Bangkok is that the traffic jams have you planning your whole day around avoiding the rush hour.
Just like Montreal.
But rush hour is 24 hours a day in Bangkok.
Plenty to do there, though. Of course, the temples is where everybody heads off to, and those monks in the orange robes everywhere, because, of course, all young men in Thailand have to put in compulsory service as monks.
Are you serious?
That kind of military duty. The best of the temples, the best excursion if you have a short time, is Wat Po. That's the largest temple, almost like a little city, and there you'll see 300 monks who live there. And this place has my favorite Buddha, though there's no shortage of Buddhas in Thailand. Of course, this is a 150-foot long gold-plated reclining Buddha. Each foot is the size of a suburban garage, actually.
A reclining, reclining Buddha?
Lying on its side. Very stunning, all in gold. Now, another interesting and most fascinating thing to do is to go to the snake farm in Bangkok.
No. Oh, I visited there too, yes.
Send me a picture.
There they extract the venom from tropical snakes to make antidotes to snake bites, and they show you how to do that, and you get to see cobras and pythons creeping around the feet of the snake technicians. Yeah. And another kind of offbeat thing to do is to go to Muay Thai. That's a Thai boxing match in a big stadium. Fans are crazier than hockey fans in Canada. The fighters are really young country boys, and this is kind of a way for them to break out of living a poor life in the country.
They have a huge stadium for Thai kickboxing. We passed it, and this looks the size of any hockey arena that you would see in North America.
Huge. Wow. People just screaming, and there you're going to see a kind of kickboxing that makes those Hong Kong stars look like sissies.
Are you serious?
Really amazing a night, and not really as brutal as you've heard, but, you know, it's a tough night. If you like football, if you like contact sports, you really like that.
Oh, yeah.
And then if you take a train down to Hua Hin, that's not one of those islands that you hear so much about, but it's the closest resort to Bangkok, and it's the oldest resort in Thailand. The beach isn't as dramatic as farther south, but the town is relatively quiet. And we took a wonderful day jungle trip there with the most knowledgeable guide named Oi. It was pretty rigorous. We pulled ourselves across chest-deep rushing rivers with ropes. And you can book this through Mr. Don at Rico Travel in Bangkok. And it's really a great trip. But probably the most exciting thing for us was to go up to Chiang Mai, which was by far the most interesting part of the trip. And we stayed at the Regent Hotel, which I'm going to tell you about a bit later. But Chiang Mai is the launching point for jungle treks. And that's what we did. We took one guide and me and two teenagers into the jungle. Mm. So it started off kind of easy as a walking path, and then it got more like a Tarzan movie, kind of rougher. But beautiful mountainous terrains, no electric or phone lines anywhere, just vines hanging down off the trees. And, of course, the guide is reminding us to look for snakes above us and below us.
Oh, no, snakes above?
We didn't see any snakes. It was a narrow path, and then it started pouring. There was no way out of this one. All of a sudden, we step into a clearing, and there are tribal people there, women with these silver head coverings and bare-chested men, a guy beating a piece of iron in a fire, actually making knives for the tribe. And the chief, who I was introduced to, was sitting on the ground weaving a basket. You think I'm making this up, but...
No, but it's like a primitive village there with a blacksmith.
Yeah, and a tiny hut full of almost comatose tribes people smoking opium. We were so much in the jungle and in the mountains, they actually offered it to the kids.
What?
Yeah, we were about 24 kilometers in, and at that point... And we continued hiking, and then we arrived in a totally primitive village at night where we slept in a bamboo hut under mosquito netting, and there was drumming all night long. And in the morning, we woke up to...
Sounds like my upstairs neighbors. Judith, let me get this straight. Are you serious that you were offering this opium to the kids?
Yeah, and in the Thai papers, you keep seeing that they are arresting all the drug trade up there. But in fact, you know, we did see it going on, not the trade, but the use of the opium. Quite tragic. But there we were in this village in the morning, way in the jungle, and we hear a lot of commotion outside, and we look outside. And there's a huge 3 to 4 ton Indian elephant that had just arrived for us. So, because that's how we were apparently going to get out of the jungle, we climbed up on this platform, the height of a high diving board to get on. At that point, I was saying, I'm staying here. I'm not going anywhere. And then we rode for hours, and now and then the elephant would stop to literally rip up and eat a whole baby bamboo tree. But anyway, we came out of that. We were alive. We were filthy. It was great.
That's a fun ecotourism tour, isn't it?
It was really quite great. We got back from there, back to the Regent Hotel, and then we did a day trip from Chiang Mai to the Elephant Hospital in Lampang. And you probably know elephants were always used in Thailand for logging.
Logging for teak wood. primarily.
Ooh, yes, teeth. That's right. Well, in 1992, that kind of logging became illegal, and there were, as a result, a lot of hurt and old elephants. And we visited with a vet at the elephant hospital, which you could do too in Lampang. We saw, for example, an elephant that had bitten by a snake. Its foot was really swollen, and it had been treated. Really dangerous work. The vet showed us this syringe they used for the elephants. You can imagine, and the vet was telling us he had had some really close calls because the elephants are in pain and they don't really discriminate who's near them. Mm-hmm. That hospital is affiliated with the Elephant Conservation Center, and now there's a wonderful, wonderful trip to do. We saw a very interesting demonstration. They parade out not like a circus, but these mahouts, who are tribal people, Karen tribal people, who've always historically been very close to elephants in Thailand. They rode out about 15 elephants, including babies, and then they showed us how the elephants actually lift the logs and how they move the logs around. Later, they showed us how the elephants bathed. They rode them right into this kind of lake, and there we really were in the jungle. Now, the purpose of this is not just the entertainment value, because there are some really tacky and exploitative elephant shows in northern Thailand, but if you go to the Elephant Conservation Center, you'll see that the purpose is really to teach us the way we learn about whales or other animals that need to be protected. And so the announcer who does the announcing when the elephants are performing, and it's a very gentle and interesting performance, is explaining to you lots of things about the elephant population in Thailand. For example, there are only about 2,000 wild elephants left in Thailand. The conservation center has, besides the show, you can go in and walk through a kind of museum which shows you the history of the work of elephants in Thailand. And they are actually working with the World Wildlife Foundation.
At least some way to promote some kind of prevention of cruelty to the animals, but I mean, because you know you're telling me about some of these stories, and I'm starting to get the willies because goodness me, you know,
a lot of people didn't look after their animals, and particularly when the whole reason for their work was finished with the demise of the logging trade. Well, they didn't have the money to maintain the animals, and a lot of times they just were on their own.
Absolutely, you're absolutely right. So the goal of the Elephant Conservation Center, well, it's a wonderful thing for us from the West to see, but the goal is to help some of those elephants return to the wild. And really, as you said, those elephants, they're unemployed, and they've served for a long time. They've served the Thai population and the world population by harvesting that teak. And so it's very, very fascinating.
And when you watch them, you can realize how graceful, really, for their size, an elephant can be.
Mm-hmm. And how gentle, aren't they?
Yes, very gentle animals.
Absolutely. So that certainly is one of the high points, and it was a little bit more relaxing, though not as exciting, of course, as riding that elephant with the mahout in the jungle, which you can do, you know, if you find just the right agent to book your trip, you can have that kind of wonderful adventure. So
you have to check which company you're doing it with, because I'm sure there are some that are better than others.
That's right, and of course, Travel World always recommends the best guides and so on. But I'll talk more after the break about the Regent Hotel. But they do provide wonderful guide services. They are very environmentally conscious and get you off the touristic beat and right on to the really much more authentic kinds of trip.
Well, sounds great.
Looking forward to it. It's coming up to 11:30 in Montreal. Time to start thinking about lunch. Time to start thinking Pizza Donini. Real great pizza and a whole lot more. 383-6000. 31 locations in Greater Montreal, but just one number to remember. For real great pizza and a whole lot more, it's Pizza Donini, 383-6000. If you're going out around Montreal today, you can drop by the Town of Mont-Royal City Hall for the Christmas Bazaar of the German Benevolent Society. 1 p.m. to 8 p.m., and you could win yourself a first prize, 2 tickets, Montreal, Amsterdam, with KLM Northwest.
Ooh, Amsterdam.
Meals, coffee with German cake, imported German beer, entertainment, handicrafts, baked goods, and Christmas decorations, like a Christmas fair from Germany right here in Montreal.
Well, and let's not forget the museums in Amsterdam. Anyway, let's roll the break.
CIQC Montreal.
When you shop Murelatos, it's a feeling.
Fresh and delicious chicken legs, 59 cents a pound. 10 pounds of broiler onions, 69 cents each. A tasty 900 grams of Vital pasta, only 89 cents each. Large eggs, just 149 each.
The garden of the Mediterranean supermarket.
In Chamonix, Pierrefonds, Saint-Laurent, La Salle, and now on Samson in Laval.
Dancing. Learn to dance at the Arthur Murray Dance Studio. Dancing is fun, it's great exercise, and it builds confidence. It sure beats aerobics. Dancing feels great, and you'll look great. You can go alone or with a partner. At Arthur Murray, their instructors are friendly, professional, and you'll learn at your own pace. Arthur Murray teaches ballroom, Latin, and popular dance styles, like the merengue, cha-cha, tango, waltz, rock and roll, the hustle, swing, and more. Don't worry if you have 2 left feet, because everybody starts somewhere. And before long, you'll be amazed at your progress. At Arthur Murray, your program will include one-on-one lessons, group lessons, and practice sessions. Plus, you can practice in their studio anytime at no additional cost. They're open at hours that are convenient to you, weekdays from 1 to 11 p.m., and on Saturdays by appointment. You'll look great and you'll feel better. Call Arthur Murray today and get ready to dance. Call today, because your first lesson is free. Arthur Murray Dance Studio, Brunswick Boulevard, near Sources Road in Dollard, telephone 421-9710. That's 421-9710.
The holidays at Chocolaty, peace and joy and festive trees, garlands, wreaths and chocolate sprees, everything sweet, great savings too, at Chocolaty.
Set of 35 outdoor mini lights from Dance, and with 5 bonus lights, $149. Gift wrapping paper, 3 80-inch rolls, $199. From jolly gift ideas to holly decorations, Jean Coutu has all the festive savings.
Jean Coutu, you'll find it all, even a friend.
To be the official ground transportation carrier for Travel World's media correspondents. Business taking you to Toronto but tired of battling traffic on the 401, the confusion of Pearson Airport and high airfares? Next time, arrive refreshed and relaxed. Pamper yourself with Via One first-class service from downtown to downtown. A hot meal served at your seat, full stretch-out comfort that allows you to spend productive work time, not lose time en route. Via One, the way Montreal-Toronto travel was meant to be, from Via Rail, Canada's passenger train network.
Holiday dreams come true at Cavendish Mall, where great gift ideas and exceptional pre-holiday savings abound. You'll love the fresh new look at Cavendish Mall. Lots of new retailers offer the trendiest fashions in town. Bring the kids and let them play all day on the Treasure Island Playground. Holiday dreams come true at Cavendish Mall, with funky fashions, restaurants, and cinema, and the absolute best buys before the holidays. Cavendish Mall in Côte Saint-Luc.
Hello everybody, it's Maria Miles from the Salisbury Chamber of Commerce, listening to my favorite travel program, Travel World, right here on AM 600 CIQC.
CIQC.
Gotta love Lenny Kravitz, huh? Hey, listen, Alex, after the next break, you want to see if you can find that Kenny Loggins song? I like that song. I'm all right. Don't nobody worry about me.
Just some of the musical selections.
Yeah. Welcome back to Travel World. Willem back is Stephen Pickford, Judith Ritter online. Just before we get to that, last week we had the chance to meet up with an inspiration of ours, Jack Curran.
Who was the last show last Sunday at the Holiday Inn Airport on Côte de Liesse. After 51 years in broadcasting.
He was our inspiration to do Travel World in the first place, because we started off by watching, I remember watching Travel 72 way back when.
Yes, on CFCF 12 here in Montreal. And when I did my Travel World on cable TV,
that old theme song back. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
It must be there in the library
it's somewhere.
It's got to
be someplace.
I have to talk to David Gentile up in the music library.
In March, of course, up until now, we've been doing tributes to Jack Kern because we've been sending Vic Phillips golfing, like places like Bermuda and so on.
And Arizona and places
but
like that.
The true March trip is golfing on the Algarve in Portugal by Jack Kern, and we're going to send him
We'll send him there this March. So
we want to get him to do, of course, that famous public service announcement. Anybody growing up in Montreal has got to have seen that one. He sits on that chair next to the phony fire going, well, it's the holiday season again. Please drink responsibly.
And sound advice, particularly at
this
time of year.
It is, but, you know, it was every year. Every year.
Every year. One of those growing up memories.
It's amazing. But Steven remembers stuff that's been on the TV in 1978.
I remember some of the shows Jack did. Music Quebec and
Radar Men from the Moon.
Oh, yes, the time he did the weather, I remember. Remember more about what
Movie Matinee.
Movie Matinee.
Well, true inspiration to us all. We're looking forward to getting his report when we send him to the All-Guy.
Love to have him on the show.
So, Judith, when you went down to Thailand, you also did other things. There's
well,
markets
the markets and the did you do the Klong tour, the canals.
Yes, I was on the canal and found a bit of a secret way to behind the Amari Hotel that I'm going to tell you about in a little bit.
Okay.
Kind of secret canal. So there's endless things to do, of course, in Bangkok. I think that, as I was saying, the most exciting trip is to get up north at Chiang Mai or Chiang Rai. And you know what, there are some resorts or some places where you stay that, in fact, they're not just a place to stay. They're destinations, they're attractions themselves. And I wanted to tell you a little bit about the Chiang Mai Regent Resort. That's a Four Seasons hotel, and this is really incredible. I don't like to use the word resort because it kind of recalls those cookie-cutter resorts for winter breaks. This is special. It's not very well known in North America, but in fact has been called the best resort in the world. Lots of Japanese and Europeans there. Now, what is so unique about this is, first of all, the setting. These green hills, flowering trees, banana trees, jasmine, frangipani, nut palms, all this red and white and pink hibiscus. And the whole resort is built on the slopes of a valley. They hardly cut a tree. The most amazing thing is that this area was all rice farms at one time, and the Regent Hotel is, in fact, a working rice farm.
That sounds something special. In fact, one of the things I like about that is that they do not really cut many trees down.
They build it into their local environment.
Right. Now, at this hotel, which is so luxurious, you can sit on the terrace, and you can eat a gourmet meal, and you look out, and you see the mountains and jungle off in the distance, and just below you, down these terraced hillsides, a small lake, not too far below, rice paddy, and you see the new green of the rice, and farmers who are part of the Regent Hotel, wearing those flat straw hats and traditional loose tops and pants, are working the rice. And there are these slick black water buffalo, all part of the Regent Hotel.
They live on the property.
That's right, drinking from the lake. And most interestingly, that rice goes to the farmers who farm it and to the poor in the area. That's a hotel project.
So they're giving back to their local community.
Absolutely.
That's nice to see.
Secondly, the structures themselves. The whole resort was built based on the architecture of a northern Thai village. So the outbuildings where you stay are these small raised wooden houses scattered along the hillside. Each room, is a small building, and it has a big porch all surrounded by trees, and the trees are so close, it's almost like you're in a tree house. And to move from the central area or the pool or from one building to another, there are these wooden walks, which are exactly the way the Thai people in the mountain villages connect up their individual houses. Now, there you are in a place that feels so natural and so ancient almost, but the hotel has a brand new spa. And in the Thai tradition, the spa is built like a temple, and there you've probably heard about traditional Thai massage.
Yes, it's something very special to experience.
Yeah, have you experienced that?
Yes, in Thailand, yes.
Yeah. It's a kind of muscle stretching, and it's really the best massage I ever had. And the hotel has women and men who have been trained at Wat Po in Bangkok in traditional Thai massage. And they also use traditional Thai herbs in the massage process, like ginger and lemongrass, and they actually have a rice scrub, it's called. It's apparently how Thai farmers, who probably didn't have easy access to other kind of cleaning things like soap.
A rice scrub?
Rice scrub.
Kind of like a loofah or what?
I think it...
skin treatment?
Yes, it's a treatment where it cleans your skin like a loofah. You're absolutely right. And these are old Thai techniques. So the hotel, as I said, is really a destination. It's as though you're taking a farm holiday in Thailand, the kind of thing some people do in PEI. And you can hike all around the hills around the hotel property, and they have mountain bikes. And you can swim in a pool that's built into the hillside. The way it's built is that the far edge of the pool is on the edge of a hill. So when you swim toward the end, it looks almost as though you're going to swim right over the...
like over the cliff.
Oh, that's pretty neat. No, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that would be really...
Judith,
really
tell me something
special.
Else. You're telling us about all these great places and, of course, a bit of ecotourism and environmental friendliness and giving back to the community, which is all nice. One other thing, if you're going to travel to Thailand with a family, what kind of things are available, say, for the family to do, bring children and so on?
Well, as I said, I brought children on the elephant and jungle hike, and they will tailor those tours for even small children. And I met people with small children because elephants are so gentle. There's that possibility. And, of course, Bangkok has all those things that the kids like, the theme restaurants. And the snake farm that I mentioned is so wonderful to be with young children and so educational. I had the opportunity to talk to some young kids about the snakes, very young, much younger than the kids I was with.
I don't know about bringing a kid to see a python, but...
Oh, no, the kids have a very natural attitude to the snakes, and so they...
I don't know, it just sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Well, at the snake farm, you also have the crocodile exhibit, too. So.
That's right.
Okay, how about some other places that kids probably enjoy, the other kind of kid things?
Oh, well, of course, the beaches and the swimming and there's horseback riding on the beaches. So there are a lot of things. Now, talk about a sensitive to young people, to kids, hotel in Bangkok. We stayed at the Amari. This is interesting because it's a Thai chain, only in Thailand. And so there's a very Thai ambience there. We stayed at the Amari Atrium, which is brand new. And the service was very, very attentive from the bellmen to the servers. But I want to tell you something, just referring back to your question about kids. We checked in after 8 in the evening. We had a wonderful room with big windows all the way around. And about 10 p.m., 2 hours afterwards, not even, the doorbell rang of our room, and there was the manager and two young women from the desk and a birthday cake for my daughter.
Oh, how nice.
The three of them sang happy birthday with a wonderful Thai accent. Now, the interesting thing is I didn't order the cake. At check-in, they saw that it was my daughter's birthday.
Oh, that's nice.
On the
path. That's very thoughtful. How old is your daughter, Judith?
Well, she was 17 at that time. So,
oh, I see. Okay.
And, of course, we were with a 14-year-old as well. Mm-hmm. So the Thai people really, really love kids.
They're a very hospitable people overall. I mean, when I went to Bangkok, everyone went out of their way, and they were very friendly, asked for directions anywhere. They speak English quite well, most people.
Yeah, absolutely. Very, very kind people. And, of course, it's not that hard for us to get there. You can go in style on Canadian Airlines. As you know, it's a great trip to Bangkok. Many hours, but not too uncomfortable if you could get yourself bumped up to that business class.
Mm-hmm.
They have a great menu. Now, that's really great for an airline under siege. They're still working hard. And when you're coming back, that business class lounge in Vancouver is really like a five-star hotel.
Wow.
And within Thailand, and I'm sure you flew Thai Airlines too, didn't you?
Yes, actually I flew Thai Airways when they had the route from Toronto to Seattle. When I went to Bangkok, I flew Finnair, so I went to Seattle on Thai Airways. That's a roundabout way to do it.
That's funny, but the Thai Airlines, they really know their country. And, when you're flying up north into the jungle, into the mountainous regions, you want to make sure that you're with an airline that knows those mountains. So, those pilots, I felt quite confident with the Thai Air pilots. I liked Thai Airlines so much that when I left Thailand, I was off, as you know, to Calcutta, and I flew from Bangkok to Calcutta. So
they flew that route as well. For the listeners in the United States who want to fly Canadian Airlines, American Airlines code shares with them, so they fly over the Vancouver hub, because American doesn't have that much of a presence in the Orient. Through their One World Alliance with Canadian, they fly a lot of their passengers from Dallas, Miami, etc., over Vancouver. Vancouver, and it's a direct flight, one stop, no change in Hong Kong on Canadian Airlines.
Mm-hmm.
All in all, sounds like you had a great time when you went there. It's great to, you can go by yourself with traveling companions and with kids.
And we're going to be talking about the food in the Southeast Asia region with Tom Robson, author and television personality, when we return. Well, thank you, Judith Ritter, for joining us this morning on Travel World on the Liberty Works Radio Network. Have a great weekend.
Alex, let's roll it.
Travel will continue.
CIQC Montreal.
You know, the only person you can't see face to face is you. Think about it. How do you come off in presentations? You never really know. So I called Dale Carnegie, and they customized their strategic presentations workshop for my department. They taught us to see ourselves the way others do. Now new business is up, and we all feel better equipped to compete for the really big jobs. The Dale Carnegie Strategic Presentations Workshop. They're right. It is the right training for the real world.
Presentation workshops starting soon. For information for you or your company, call 747-3381.
Before heading off on your next trip, head off to Jet Setter. Jet Setter is Montreal's travel accessory center with the largest selection of travel accessories in Eastern Canada. Everything that you could possibly want relating to travel, all in one location. Money belts, water purifiers, miniature binoculars, travel irons, guidebooks and maps, plus converters and adapters for all your electrical needs, including computers. What's more, you'll find every imaginable kind of rolling luggage, including duffel bags, knapsacks and travel packs from such name brands as Tumi, Travel Pro, Skyway, Lusborsack, Kipling, Timberland, Eagle Creek, Briggs & Riley, and more. At Jet Setter, I found you don't pay more for quality and personal service. In fact, you'll save with Jet Setter, and GST is included in every price you see. Jet Setter, Montreal's Travel Accessory Center, 66 Laurier West between Clark and Cedar Bank. Telephone 271-5058.
Tis the season for giving, so Sears and Clinique want to give you something special. With any Clinique purchase of $21 or more at Sears, receive a new Attitude 7-piece bonus with the latest in skincare and makeup, including dramatically different moisturizing lotion, turnaround cream, a sheer powder blusher, skin polisher, and two lip options, including a full-size lipstick, all in a cosmetics bag. One bonus per customer while quantities last.
Come see the many sides of Sears.
Are you tired of being held hostage to the airline's demands to stay over a Saturday night and reserve 2 weeks in advance just to get a reasonable airfare? Fed up with paying $1,000 or more on your business trips to the United States? Now there's an answer to every business traveler's dream with Zachary Travel's USA on business fares to over 50 key business centers throughout America. Reserve up to 3 days in advance, stay just 2 days, not requiring a Saturday, and count the savings. $395 plus taxes to Los Angeles, for instance, compared to over $2,000 plus taxes normally applicable without that obtrusive Saturday night stayover. You don't sacrifice comfort or convenience either, flying with one of America's top five fly carriers with full in-flight service, seat selection, and frequent flyer mileage. Call the corporate travel specialist at Zachary Travel in Dollard today, 626-3132, to find out how you can shave your travel budget by up to 75%. Your next business trip to the USA should begin with a call to Zachary, 626-3132.
When you shop Murelacos, it's a feeling.
Fresh and delicious chicken legs, 59 cents a pound. 10 pounds of broiler onions, 69 cents each. A tasty 900 grams of Vital pasta, only 89 cents each. Large eggs, just 149 each.
The garden of the Mediterranean supermarket.
In Chamonix, Pierrefonds, Saint-Laurent-la-Salle, and now on Samson in Laval.
Hi, this is Cynthia Fodor from KCCI-TV in Des Moines, Iowa. Happy to be back on the air in Montreal again with Stephen Pickford and Travel World on AM 600 CIQC.
CIQC.
One again? Gotta have a bit more variety in that damn music.
That was my mistake. I'm sorry.
Shame.
Yeah, well. Anyway,
I guess we had them all flustered. We made a few commercial parodies and whatnot. And
ones that could not go on the air.
Well, they can go on the air, but we don't want to get Alex into trouble.
Good, clean,
no, we don't.
Good, clean family entertainment here on
Well,
Travel
one
World.
Of them, we mentioned 940, the wet blanket, but... no, they call radio stations. You know,
everything.
Like the Rock, the
that's
Tree.
That's from
the
Lou Dickey's book, Branding Your Radio Station.
Yeah.
The Mountain,
the Rock,
Phoenix,
the Tree, the Phoenix,
Hindenburg
the River,
disaster.
The Hindenburg, yeah, the Andrea Doria.
The Titanic.
I like the one for the news one. You know, you call it 940 News, CKNN, the wet blanket, the coverage nobody wants, but that's a joke.
CKNN.
It's a joke.
Close to CKO as you can get. Joining us now is Tom Robson, and he's just written a book, Entree to Asia, the companion cookbook to his Asian cooking show on PBS. Good morning.
Tom,
good
welcome morning. To Travel World. How you doing?
Now, how did, this is a question that many people have asked, how did a white chef from Canada ever get interested in cooking Asian cuisine and becoming a world expert on it?
Well, growing up in Vancouver is a pretty good start, about as good as a start as you could ask for. We've got a massive Cantonese population here, Cantonese-speaking population. They've been here in this part of Canada for pushing 140 years now.
And I'm going through your book, Entree to Asia, beautiful photography. The pictures just jump out at you, and you want to visit those countries, but you can actually make the dishes at home, and they aren't as difficult as people might assume.
No, though it's really becoming a lot easier these days. I mean, if you can pick up pandan leaves and galanga and lemongrass in Canada, you can definitely pick it up all across North America. You can find it, basically look for any Vietnamese neighborhood or Laotian neighborhood, and you're going to start running into all these ingredients we call for in the recipes. And, of course, we got a lot of easy ways of doing it without those tricky ingredients as well.
Now, what would you, if somebody's just starting out, wants to make one of these Asian dishes that they have sampled, perhaps in a Chinese restaurant or a Thai restaurant, what would you say is maybe one of the easier ones they can do?
I think one that's really fun and it's got an amazing flavor, so it'll really please the folks at home, is the Sri Lankan lobster curry. Now, don't shy away from the lobster, because we say in the recipe, hey, you can substitute any seafood, shellfish or fresh fish.
Wasn't the lobster we were worried about, it was the curry. I'm just kidding.
No,
I'm
no.
just kidding.
Yeah.
I'm a curry wimp. My parents were born in the Dutch East Indies in Indonesia, and so I grew up with a lot of the Malayan cooking, with, you know, things like, well, serundeng was my favorite, which is actually fried coconut with peanuts, and they would make their, you know, that iced tafel and all the Dutch Indonesian treats.
Yes.
Just makes your mouth water.
Oh, it's so wonderful, you know, all those delicious foods, and, you know, so much of it has to do with the way the people and the cultures have come together. You know, at the dining room table, historically, you know, that's what fusion cuisine is all about. It's not about a bunch of chefs with big hats and bad ideas. It's about families sitting down together and, you know, working out their culinary differences at the dining room table.
Big hats and bad ideas.
Particularly in places like Hong Kong or Singapore or Malaysia, where four, five, six different cultures have all come together and they've taken the best of each and made it their own regional cuisine.
Exactly.
Ooh, you even work with sambal here. My father was big on that, eh?
Oh, got to have your sambal.
Sambal, well, there's different grades of sambal. Sambal is a very, very spicy little paste, and of course...
Well, your father likes the spicier it can get.
My father, yeah. Oh, my dad. Gee, in his day, this is a guy, he used to be in the Dutch Merchant Marines. We used to work for the Royal Interocean Lines between 1945 and 1952. And at the time, he had this taste for the hot foods, which he would get when he was in Indonesia. And the popular joke was they went to eat spaghetti at this one restaurant. And they, just as a gag, they started putting extra chilies and the hot sauce and whatever on there.
And he could just take it and take
he
it and
knew
take it.
Well, he just saw it there, and he knew that they'd spiked his food. And what he did is he just asked for more chilies and put them on. They were all just about fell over.
Tom, from all your travels in Asia, do you have any funny stories or particular tips that you say this stands out and you've got to tell North American listeners?
Well, let's stay with the tips, because tips are good things. I think when you're out, you know, traveling about and you're getting hungry and you're tempted by all this street food and everybody said, oh, you can't eat the street food, it'll kill you. Well, that's just not true. What you do, you look for a busy one. You get in a lineup. It doesn't have to be a long lineup. As long as there's a lineup, you know that they're busy, they're popular, people trust them, and they've got that good taste you're looking for.
When you walk down a street, particularly Bangkok, we were talking about Bangkok earlier,
you
walk down the street and the sights and the sounds and the smells, they just jump out at you. You can't go a block without really wanting to pick something up and eat it.
Absolutely, and that's how the Thais live their life, actually, is, you know, you just have the main meals to make sure you're nutritionally sound, and then you snack your way through the rest of the day.
Very tasty foods there, though, here. You know what I like about your book particularly? It looks like a coffee table travel book when you go through it. It's not just a cookbook.
Well, it's not the one you're going to put onto the microwave and let it sit there and gather dust.
Oh, I hope not. No. it's a stoveside companion.
You could leave it, you put it in the living room.
I don't know. It looks more like a living room here. It will entice you
to travel to those countries, and the recipes are easy to follow, and the pictures will just...
give you the confidence and the inspiration.
The confidence and inspiration. You can bring the country into your own dining room. When you go to Asia, do you miss any of the North American foods? Is it like a role reversal for you?
You know, it's funny. Every once in a while, I want a roast chicken and potatoes.
Mm.
Just really, you know, straightforward roast chicken, potatoes. But then I'll sneak some sambal to the table.
Sambal.
Because I do that anyways, wherever I am.
Wherever you go, you just add that particular touch to
it. Yeah.
Not much you can do to beat a good rotisserie chicken, I always say.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's true. You know, but amazingly, you know, the Thais, they do roast chicken. You know, everywhere you go in Bangkok, you see roast chicken as well. They got this most elaborate and flavorful and fragrant cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
And yet themselves, they settle down to a nice roast chicken. Maybe it's seasoned with some coriander root,
right?
And nice.
But that's one of the nice things about the Far East when you go there, and also even the Polynesian areas. We noticed that when we went out to Hawaii last year. Mm. It's the fragrance and the tropical flowers. I mean, I have a Hawaiian calendar, and one of the favorite ones I've got is they actually have tropical flowers on there. And I remember when we went to the luau, and they made us a flower lei around our neck, and it was all made out of the fresh fruit. Boy, it was wonderful. It was just unbelievable. And my parents also noticed, I mean, from them, growing up with them, the food was so tasty.
It's the freshness. It's the spices and the freshness and the ingredients that are used. There's a heavy emphasis on fresh ingredients in Asian cooking.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's so much of it is the wet market culture. You shop for what you need for the day. That's it. You go in the morning, you get what you need at the local wet market, and then you bring it back home, and then tomorrow you do the next thing. Now, all this implies that you've got somebody at home. This is why they love the extended family. There's always an aunt or an uncle or a grandmother at home that can cook a healthy homemade meal for the family.
Yes, certainly. And part of the whole tradition is, as you correctly mentioned, get the food, make it. It becomes part of the whole day's experience.
Exactly. Now, that's not practical for a lot of us. So I think this is where, you know, the cookbooks really have to step in and get the details straight so that you can organize yourself accordingly and you do it a couple of times. And, of course, you're just going to cook, you know, one or two of these dishes and incorporate them as part of a regular meal. There's no sense in getting a cookbook on a cuisine you haven't done before and saying, I'm going to cook 8 dishes and call my 8 best friends and we're going to sit down. You'll be tired. You'll be
swamped and you'll be fed up and you won't want to do it again.
Exactly. So I always recommend you cook one or two dishes. Do a Thai grilled chicken. Serve it with some mashed potatoes and a salad, and it'll be a meal to remember.
Mm-hmm.
You're ahead of the game. You're famous in your own home, and it was easy.
Sounds good. Well, Tom Robson, thank you for joining us. Entree to Asia, a culinary adventure with Thomas Robson on bookstores now. And I recommend that people pick up a copy. It'll certainly add to their collection and certainly...
It's a very nice book.
Whet their appetites.
Thank you so very much.
Thanks for joining us,
much
Tom.
Much appreciated. And it was actually Tom Robson, Steve Wong, one of our big fans here on Travel World. He says Tom Robson's Entree to Asia program is his favorite television program.
Yeah, and he says check out page 123. No.
119, I think it
119,
is. 119 for the mention.
He's actually friends with Melanie Rappas, one of our correspondents.
One of our correspondents here on Travel World, who will actually be with us. Perfect segue. She will be with us.
That's her word,
next,
too.
Next Saturday, she'll be with us talking about Barbados, and Jerry Wagshaw will be talking about Antigua, so it's sort of a preparation show for winter getaways to sun destinations.
Well, it's nice and warm outside, and yesterday I was happy that it was raining because it wasn't snowing.
Anything is better than snow, but snow is coming, so next Saturday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, on the Travel World Radio Show, it's a getaway to the Caribbean.
I can't wait. And in fact, this winter, if we're very lucky and we ask real nicely, our good friend Ray Baca from Hawaii may join us. So
may come into town.
Stay tuned. So cross your fingers.
Let's hope. That's next Saturday for the Travel World Radio Show. Simulcast on AM 600 CIQC Montreal, the world's first radio station, and beamed across America by satellite and around the world on the Voice of Truth in Broadcasting, the Liberty Works Radio Network. I'm Stephen Pickford.
I'm Willem Backus, and Alex behind the console.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Time's gone by, it seems to be, you could have been a better friend to me. Mama, I'm coming home. You took me in and you drove me out, yeah, you had me hypnotized, yeah. Lost and found and turned around by the fire in your eyes. You made me cry, you told me lies, but I can't stand to say.
Talk Radio 600 CIQC.